Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time that you've given us to enable us to be able to meet together, even through technology and the social network. We thank you. And we pray, Lord, that you would impart your wisdom and understanding to us as we look into your word, that we might find things old, find things new, that you would grant us, you know, the ability to be able to rightly divide your word. We pray for those who are with us now, joining in, and those who may come. And again, we just look to you, Lord, for some enlightenment. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. So we're looking at, I gave you some text. We're looking at John, the 13th chapter, the 36th through the 38th verses.
Yes.
And to go right into the 14th chapter, the first through the seventh verses. Familiar passage of scripture, I believe, probably for all of us. Most of the times we hear this, it's usually at funerals, you know, but you can read as much as you want to, as you like to, at your leisure, but we need this 36th chapter first. I mean, the 13th chapter first to lead us into this 14th, because usually what we usually hear in funerals or don't let your heart be troubled, you believe in God. We hear that all the time. But I think we needed to look into this 13th chapter to see where it leads into. And let me look into this here. Now, in the 36th verse of the 13th chapter of John, I believe I'm coming out of the NIV here. Simon Peter asked him, now watch this, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow now. Don't you hear what he said?
Uh-huh.
But you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I would lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Now, I'm hoping, I want you to look at this from this perspective, like you're engaged, you're part of this conversation. Because even though right now he's addressing Peter, the other disciples are there as well. And so you kind of put yourself in this picture, you know, photobomb yourself in this conversation. Okay? Now, after he said to them, you will disown me three times, look what happens next. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, he's talking to all of them. You see where the conversation is going? They all there. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, see, I like to hear it. Like, see, we need to see where the continuity of this conversation. Because usually when you just read it from the 14th chapter and start right here, you're not taking it in this complete context. So you need to hear it this way. Now watch what he said. Don't be upset. Don't be upset. Okay? Don't let your hearts be troubled. See, you believe in God. He said, if you believe in God, he's making a statement. Well, I want you to believe also in me. Now. Yeah, and whenever y'all get something you want to say, just pop in. Y'all know how we do. Now, he said, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? You see how this conversation goes here?
Yes.
You know, now usually when we read this out of the King James, I don't have that in front, but I recall, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for that. That's what he says in the King James, I believe.
Yes.
Now, here he's saying this way, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to be there to prepare a place for you? He's raising the question. When you read in the King James, you don't read it as a question like that.
No.
You know, but now we have the conversation. Because we understand he has all the word of God. You know, scriptures God breathed. But man has put in the punctuation. operations and the divisions of it. That's important to understand. Now, I want to pause here for a second, because I want to ask your thoughts on this here. Now, again, I'm reading this. Many mansions, many rooms. What do y'all think about it? In my father's house, you got three things you're looking at here. His father's house, many mansions, many rooms. What do you think about that? Anybody?
Well, one thing I would say is in that age, or however the translation goes, it shows that there's, excuse me, many abodes there. Excuse me. When you look up mansion, it looks, it goes down to an abode, and it do say mansions, but you're not going to be housed in a roof area as an angel. I don't believe that at all. The mansion could be a planet. I don't know. It's an abode where you're going to be at, where you're going to live at with the Lord. That's, you know, the New Jerusalem going to come from heaven and down to earth. So it could be so many facets to that. I don't even know what to say. Is it going to be on the planet Earth, or is it going to be Earth as the center place? Are we going to have different planets within the planet? I don't know.
You know, it's amazing. I'm going to show you how the Lord works this thing. Alex, yeah, we're looking at John, the 13th chapter, the 36th through the 38th verses, as it pours into the 14th chapter, the first to the seventh verses. I'm going to read to you. I'm not even going to talk it. I'm going to read to you exactly what I have here that I wrote.
Okay.
Only one sentence. Or maybe this should not be taken literally when he's talking about many rooms or many men. Maybe a better word would be abode. That's exactly what I have right there. Maybe I should take it to mean that in my father's abode. That's exactly what I have right there. Right, exactly what I have written. And I like that because, see, I don't want to get trapped in the thought that man does a lot in trying to put the things of God into my psyche, into our thing. There's a word for that. I'm not trying to give you a $10 word, but it would be. It's I can't even quote it right now, but it's a big word. And where we try to make the things of God be just like us. And it's not. It's not. Because, one, I will be saying to myself, this house, how in the world can a house hold a mansion? Because in our thinking, a mansion is bigger than a house. And then he said, then some pastor said, wait a minute. He says, many rooms, a room is smaller than a mansion. So it doesn't make sense. But y'all know my phrase, my cottonism, my phrase, you know, the miracles of God don't make sense. And I would like to go on and say they shouldn't make sense. Otherwise, it wouldn't be much of a miracle if it made sense. That's my feeling. Okay? So I came to the conclusion, just like Deacon Moses mentioned, I feel very comfortable saying in my father's abode. Because I don't know what that is. Because all of heaven is his abode. So, you know, I could easily be saying, well, if heaven where my father lives, there's a whole lot of man. There's a whole lot of room, you know? So I don't have a problem with any of that. I'm not going to get caught up in, you know, well, if it's heaven, is this that? I ain't worried about that. You know, and I don't want to get away from it, but I got a segue here. Do you realize there's something that's even described in heaven to us makes no sense again. Now, what you familiar when it talks about these trees? What are these trees good for?
They're healing another nation.
What nation, Moses? What healing needs to be done? We're in heaven. What healing needs to be done? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I believe the writer John is writing as he feels inspired, but he has to write only what he can relate to. See, he was writing what he saw. But I've never known gold to be streets like gold and transparent. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's all he knew. What else could he write by except that which he knew? You follow what I'm saying? We talk about the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, how beautiful they are. So for us, there would be nothing more beautiful than that. So when we see something so glorious in heaven, we probably will compare it to the board, Northern Lights, because that's all I know. I have no other way to describe it. When he looked out and saw such a massive humanity, he said a number that no man could number. He saw thousands upon thousands of 10,000. It's just, in other words, what he's saying to us is more than I can count. It's just so many. Okay? So for him to talk about this place as many mansions, I don't, is he just looking at such a humongous something here, and that's the only way he can describe, I don't know. And rather than speculate and go that, let me, I just can't wait to get there and see for myself. But anyway, that's, I don't want to go off on that. So so now this is what he says to him. He's talking to the disciples. Why do you think he's saying all this to them at this point? Anybody got a thought on that? Y'all heard this many times. This passage. In the scriptures, in some Bibles, it says Jesus comforted his disciples. That's what they call this passage. I say, yes, Jesus, and I went this, and I preached from this past Sunday. And I said, Jesus comforts his disciples, and that's something that we talked about was real talk. He's comforting them with what we call real talk. He let them know exactly what it is, because he's getting ready to go. Okay, before Pilate and all of that stuff. We know all of that. And he's getting ready to leave them. They need to be comforted. Y'all think about this for a minute. Try to think about it. It's not like they got cell phones and internet and all that stuff. All this time they've been spending good time with Jesus for about 3 years now. And he's been teaching them some things. They've been watching him perform miracles, and they display under his tutelage directly. And now he's letting them realize, he's already told them, but now he told them that one day I have to leave you, but now that time has come. They need to be comforted. They needed to be assured. Why? Because while he was with them, everybody was pointing the finger to them. But now that he's ready to leave, they're going to be pointing the fingers at them. They're going to be pointing right to them. They're not going to be saying, let's look at that Jesus. Look what he's teaching and laughing and mocking him. Now they're going to be laughing and mocking them. And he needs to give them some assurances and some comfort. So look what he's saying to them after he turned his direction from Peter. Because he just told him something heavy. You're going to disown me before the rooster crows 3 times. Before the rooster crows, rather, you're going to disown me not once, not even twice, but 3 times. 3 times you're going to have an opportunity to stand up and be counted as one of my followers. You're going to disown me. Now they all hear this, okay? And we've all gathered. Y'all can tell me y'all think differently, but we've all kind of gathered that Peter was more or less like, almost like the maybe the head spokesman for all of them. When we look around, some of the major things that happened, Peter was almost in the center of it, and I believe the Lord took him that way. That's why he said, when you get yourself together, you go back and restore them.
Yes.
They're looking at you for leadership, and all that. So now they hear Jesus say this to Peter. Peter's going to disown Christ? You can imagine how they must feel. Christ getting ready to leave them. Peter's getting ready to disown them. So Jesus started, he said, no, listen, after you done talked to Peter, listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be upset. Y'all believe in God. I want you to believe in me. You heard my teaching. You've seen how I walk. You heard how I talk. You've seen the things that I've done. I want you to believe in me now. Now, does this passage give you a little difference? Now, I want you to know, okay, I'm going to my father's house, and there's a whole lot of places for y'all to stay in my father's house. It is a boat. Okay, it's a lot of places. They mansion, room, whatever you call it. The bottom line is a lot of places for you to stay. And guess what? I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's speaking to them directly, which lets us know we need to take this thing. Take it direct. You need to take it personally, like he's talking to you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Okay? I'm going to get this place ready for you. And when I get it ready, I'm not sending any of the cherubims or the seraphims or even an archangel back to you. I'm going to come back. I will come back and take you so that you can be with me. So that you can be with me. Not while I gallivant or go somewhere else. No, you're going to be there with me. I'm going to be there with you. Do you think that gave them some comfort and some assurance for Jesus to tell them that? As he sat back and talked to them on the real, he's telling them this stuff on the real. But then, I guess why he's got their full attention and they sitting on the edge and they're really listening to him. Look what Jesus continues to say to them. That's why we call this real talk. He said, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Well, he's talking to Peter, but look who pops up. Thomas. He said, whoa, Lord. We don't know where you're going. You said you're going, yeah, you said you're going to your father's house. But how can we know the way? You ain't give us no address. You ain't tell them to go to this city, to go this part, to go north, to go south, to go east, go west. You ain't how in the world are we gonna know the way? You said, yeah, we can't go with you now, but we can come later. You didn't tell us where your father's house is. And Jesus answered again. You know, I am the way. I am the way. You know me. You've been with me. I'm the way. I'm the truth, and I am the light. You cannot get to the Father except through me. And y'all been with me. Y'all been walking with me for the last 3 years. Okay? All you got to know is me. What y'all think about me so far? What y'all think? No thoughts so far. It's all right. Now stay with me. I'm gonna keep going. Nobody give me a thought, but keep going. All right, now he's comforting them. He's assuring them. Okay, he's already made a promise to them that I'm coming back. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm gonna come back and take you there so that you can be there with me. Okay. Now he said, now if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. Then he clicked on the thing. From now on, you do know him and have seen. Now, Jesus, like I said, I call this real talk. He's talking to them. He's been teaching them all along, talking to them all along. But now, as he's coming into the shadow of the cross, he's gotten closer. He's getting even closer to it. He's giving them some real talk. All right, I'm going to leave you guys. Okay, I'm going to leave y'all. But I prepared you. You know enough. You know how to carry on what I've taught you. You've been equipped. Okay. I told you earlier that while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When I leave, you will be the light. He's told them all of this stuff. And you know, y'all know how it is. Some things you get ready to do, or you've been a job you get ready to perform, you're all right. But as you get closer and closer to that job, to what you have to do, it becomes more real to you. You see it in a whole different light. Now, this is the way it is. It's real. I don't want to say it's almost like when you have to go to the bathroom. You all right, you can take your time. But the closer you get there, now I got to go. God forbid you go there and the door's locked, somebody occupied it. Now it seems to be an emergency. But that's the way things get. He said, well, this is the way it is. I've been telling y'all about I would have to leave you. I've been telling y'all. And they're going to take my life. I've been telling you all of this, but now that you can see it, now that you're in the very shadow of it, it becomes real to you. And now you get a little bit nervous. Now you become more concerned. And Peter, to the very point that you're even going to disown me. This is all real talk that Jesus is doing with these guys. Okay? This is all real talk. So I'm saying to you, as you're listening to what the Lord is saying to them, okay, some of you, your mind, okay, begins to think about some of the lessons you have learned from the Word of God. Right now, you are. You begin to think about how Jesus has many angels at his disposal. You don't know how many, but you're saying to yourself, if Satan carried about two-thirds with him, that sounds like it could be a lot. And I do know at one time, over 2,000 demons was in this one guy to the point that the Lord cast him out into the pig, to the swine, right? Can you imagine one person being possessed with 2,000 demons? One person. All kinds of demons. Demons of, you name it, they had to be in. 2,000 and just one person. Fallen angel. So we have no idea how many were there, but it's a lot. Then you also begin to think about the scripture and let you know that John, well, we just mentioned this, saw a number in heaven that no man can number. You think that's a lot of people? That's what he saw. And then you begin to think about all the people who be residing in heaven. And you came to some conclusion that God's house must be humongous. If you can't think of nothing else, it's got to be humongous. And if it contains enough mansion or room to accommodate all the people who are going to be there, and he's going to prepare a place for me. You should take this person in this great big place. I don't have to be like I am here. I got six siblings. We all three or four of us share the same room. Maybe two or three of us share even the same bed. But I know none of y'all have to. We're all in the same place. And all of that. But he said he's going to prepare a place for me. Now, whether it's in a mansion, whether it's in a room, doesn't matter. He's going to prepare a place for me. Jesus letting us know some things, okay? Letting us know some things. As we all agree, and I think I'm most mentioned it again, and I have the very same thing written on mine. I feel very comfortable saying in my father's abode, there are many mansions or many rooms. I have no problem using the abode because I can't even conceive of a house having mansions. It's not to be taken literally. I think that what John is letting us understand is that God's grace is humongous. In my mind, I've always pictured that, but hey, it ain't just no literal house, but it's the whole heaven is in. The whole heaven is where he abides. We know that he can do this because he's God. What does scripture also tell? How come there ain't no sunshine in there? Because his glory is illuminating the place. So his presence is felt in the whole place. Go ahead, Dick. You're muted. You're muted. You're muted there.
Oh, thank you. One thing I just want to throw out there. We read in the Bible how the negative aspect of people will receive their punishment in hell, and how the Bible says that hell is always enlarging. So don't worry about it being too crowded. You're gonna have room for y'all that want to be disobedient. Jesus is saying he's preparing a place for us. And it, like you said before, if the Lord created the earth and the fullness thereof that we see and can comprehend in 7 days, just use that as an example. And here it has been thousands of years he's been working on it. How we the Bible clearly tells you can't even imagine the good things that God got for us. We can't imagine. We can't imagine how glorious it's going to be. He's got that tree that bears 12 manner of fruit. I can guarantee you one of two things. It's either fruit we ain't never heard of or seen, or if it's the same kind, it tastes better than anything we ever tasted.
It's just amazing. And I hear you thinking, well, the Lord has given us these little glimpses, these little tidbits of what we can look forward to. And this is something that I believe that we ought to. I hear too many believers get down in the dumps because the way things are here, the way things are, the disappointments and disillusions and all the negative things they've got here. Set your minds on things above. That's what the word says. You set your minds on that. I'm going to leave this. This was never home to begin with. This ain't home. There's one thing about, I feel comfortable saying that probably everyone here has been on vacation somewhere. But there's one thing about vacation that they all haven't come. I don't care where you go. You got to leave this and go back home. This is vacation. I don't care if your vacation lasts 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years. This is vacation. And when this vacation time is over, you're going home. You're going home. And I don't care whether it's a room, whether it's a mansion. I'm going there. And it's going to be right because Jesus prepared it for me. I don't know. I can only imagine because I only have the thought that I have here. But I can only imagine that it's going to accommodate me. You might be saying here, well, I sure do wish I learned how to swim. Oh, the place God made for me has a swimming pool. I'm just saying that's crazy. But yeah, I don't know. Hey, I go to my room that God prepared me. Oh, it's a basin in it. Let me pick it up and I start playing. Oh my goodness, but always, I don't know. I don't know. These are all secondary crazy thoughts. But one thing I do know, boy, I get you the money, nigga move. But one thing I do know that it's gonna be joy unspeakable. I know that. And I'll never grow weary of praising the Lord. Go ahead, D. Move. Get your thought.
No, that you brought up a good example. And people, when we read this word of God, every example of this life is in there. Now, there's a story in the Bible about a pool. And when that angel touched the pool, the first person getting there get healed. Now, watch this. It was only one angel once a year. If the angel gonna go to the pool and whoever go in there get healed, if there is such a thing as pools in heaven, it ain't gonna be like these pools here. It's gonna be a different type of hole. If you're gonna go in there and you get in there and get healed, what do you think gonna happen with other people if it's a whole slew of them in there? Oh, shut.
These are our thoughts, finite as they may be, crazy as they may sound, okay? But it's still something for us to look ahead for. that, I believe, was last week. Who do we all need to look back? I know what's back here. I just left it. I know the disappointments, the disillusions, the heartbreaks, the heartaches. I know all of this stuff. I've had that. What in the world do I want to look back and put it? Those people talk about, oh, I wish I was 30 again, 20. No, I don't wish that. I've been there. I haven't seen 70 yet. Haven't seen 80. I would love to see that. I want to look forward. And I want to see that in decent health. I don't want to be, you know, there somewhere, as Carol used to say, praying with my lips. I don't want that.
Mercy, mercy.
You know? But I want to be here as long as the Lord will allow me to be, you know. And, but I'm not worried about it. Because I know I, you know, as the saying goes, nobody gets out of here alive, but you're getting out of here. We're going to get out of here. Don't get it fooled. Don't get it twisted. Those people that are worried about it don't have the assurance. The assurance is, or the insurance that we have as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we are looking forward to going to this place that Jesus has prepared for us, they don't have that vision. They don't have that. They don't have that assurance. And that's part of what we're doing. That's part of what we've been commissioned and commanded to do, is to help teach them so that they can have it. That they don't realize that your situation, your circumstances are not greater than that which the Lord has prepared for you and is preparing for you. It's not greater than the blessings he has in store for you. It's not. And we need to let them know this. This is what the Lord is keeping us from. So yes, like I said, I would love for us to look at this conversation that the Lord is having with Peter and the other disciples from a personal point of view. Yes, put yourself in there. Photobomb yourself in this conversation, in this scene. Okay, do that. And take it as if the Lord is talking to you, that I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare this place for you. I know that there are people right now that are on their beds of affliction. Do you realize that there are some people who are never going to be able to get out or come up from the bed that they're in, this sick bed? Somebody has to come and turn them, so they don't get full of bed sores and stuff. But when they look into this passage here, and hear Jesus saying to them, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about it. I got you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back to take you there. As they're laying there, depending on somebody to come to give them a drink of water, Jesus said, don't worry about it. You're coming to a place, as Deacon Moses reminded us, we have all the different types of fruit, trees of different fruit, leaves that are good for the healing of the nation. Don't feel like walking around, it's all right, because you're going to have some wings with you there. Some of you right now, you say, I've been in this wheelchair, I'm going to be in this wheelchair for the rest of my days. I'm paraplegic. Quadriplegic. I can't move. But it's good to know that I'm going to have a glorious body. I'm not going to be bound up in no chair. The songwriter said, I'm going to walk around heaven all day. So Jesus gave them this assurance. Don't be troubled. I'm getting ready to leave, but don't be troubled. Okay, don't be troubled. I'm going to give you. Jesus comforted them and gave them that assurance. It's going to be all right. Remember some of the things I've told you and I've taught you. I'll never leave you. Okay, I'm not going to forsake you. Okay. All these things, I want you to remember. I want you, yes, I'm sending you out there like lambs among wolves. But I'm giving you armor to protect you, Some of them say, well, Lord, what about those who might sneak up behind me and know who might attack me? You gave me stuff that protected me from, but what about those dastardly ones who like to shoot people in the back? You said, don't worry about that. Goodness and mercy is going to be following you all the days of your life. You don't have to worry. I got your back. And most of all, I have you in the hollow of my hand. I build a fence around. Well, Lord, you know, we out here preaching your word. We're going to have a lot of enemies. Oh, I'll let you, listen, I'm going to get you to the point where not, your enemy, not just your footstool, you'll be able to sit up there and die with your enemy if that's what you want to do.
Amen.
Don't worry about that. Oh, everything is coming. Everything is coming. This was real talk. This was real talk that Jesus had with them. Do y'all agree? That's what
Oh, yeah.
we called it Sunday when we spoke from here. Call it real talk. Because that's what they needed. They needed that. Our leaders getting ready to leave us. You know, I can see, like we said earlier, the rest of them, they were upset because Peter, who's like the leader of us, maybe the strongest of us, and he's going to disown Jesus three times. I can see them getting a little nervous, concerned about it. So they're concerned about what, are we going to be able to take it, take what the folks are going to be bringing at us? Jesus said, don't even let your heart be troubled. That's what I love about this. Now, we don't need to just hear this during funeral. This is for us. Give us comfort and assurance. Okay. Any questions, comments on this here, y'all? You know, because you know, things are at a point where we're no longer don't. We have to do this. We may have to do this for y'all. This may have to come around because y'all can't get this kind of stuff for free. Amen. Amen. You know, you know, we may have to pass the cup around. Amen. You know, we don't have a plate, but that'll work. And just because it's a cup, don't have me have to put jingle jangle in there. My hearing is not as good as it was, but I don't need a whole lot of jingle jangle. Y'all know what to put in this thing.
Thought that
It,
was a wine cup.
my, yeah. But seriously, any questions, any thoughts, comments about this? For those who may have came in later, Deacon Smith, we were looking at John, the 13th chapter, the 36th through the 38th verses, and the 14th chapter, the 1st through the 7th verse. We felt like we needed to have at least that number to put it in perspective for us. No questions, no comments. Y'all pretty easy today. Everybody okay? Let me ask a question. I'm not saying maybe all of this. I don't know, but this looking at this these verses from this perspective, has it given any new thoughts or I'll use the word illumination for lack of a better word to anyone that they had prior to this? Are you able to look at this in a little bit different way, you think? You know, as we said, most of us just usually hear this verse and we're not reading it ourselves at funeral. Isn't that right?
Yes.
But you can see now what was really going on as we put it in perspective, what was going around and going on. I think it makes it a little bit different. It take, you know, gives us a little bit different more thought about this passage. No questions, no comments. Y'all pretty easy this week. Okay. Well, this is a rare thing that we actually get a chance to conclude earlier than 8 o'clock. This is amazing. Amazing.
Hey, look, we're paying you to stay on to 8:30, man.
Well, speaking of pay. Since you so aptly reminded us, Nita, I'm looking at it and the cup is still empty.
I thought that was a wine cup. That's what I thought.
It's still empty. No matter, even if it's that,
Man.
it's still empty.
Mercy. Mercy.
I got something for you. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Mercy.
That's what I need to hear. Amen. That's what I need to hear. Amen. I won't be mad if my cup runneth over.
Deke, can you sing the song, Deke? Can you sing the song? Drinking of the wine.
Oh, mercy.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad you know, everybody heard that and we're ready to well, I'm just glad. I feel as though y'all taking this in and maybe
can
gonna chew it some more.
Can I ask you a question about that verse then?
Of course. That's yes, we have
is it let not your heart be troubled, right?
Right.
Let not your heart be troubled. Does that mean that our heart won't be troubled or shouldn't stay troubled? How would you keep that in perspective?
Anybody want to speak on that? It's a good question. Anybody want to say anything?
I would kind of lean to the second one. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, don't worry about it. But as humans, you're going to worry about, you know, they're going to worry about it. But he was giving them comfort that they had something great to look forward to. So, you know, I believe it's more of the second response you said. Don't, you know, we're not staying in that mindset or in that emotional place.
That's good.
Okay, anybody else?
I would agree with what Deke just said, honestly.
Okay. And look what Jesus did with that. He didn't just, like, go along with what Deacon Oscar was saying. He didn't just say, okay, listen, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be upset. Okay. Now, you believe in God. Look what he said now. You believe in God. Okay. Believe also in me. But then he didn't just leave that out there. It's one thing to say that. Look what he says afterward. My father's house. Now he begins to tell you some things for you to believe in. Follow what he see, what he's doing. This is the comfort and assurance part. Yes, he's comforting them. Okay? I'm going to prepare a place for you in my father's house. In my father's abode, we agree, we like to use the word abode. But in my father's abode, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then, not only am I going to prepare a place for you, I'm not going to send somebody for you. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. And I will take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. See, I'm in my father's place. I'm in my father's abode. But I'm going in a very place there for you so that you can be there with me. Now, if you try to tell me you won't feel some comfort and some assurance with Jesus telling you that, there may have even been some tears coming down. But now you're clearing up. The tears have stopped. You get a little bit better. And he goes on and makes it a little bit gooder. Listen, I can say that word, can I? Gooder? Okay, thank you. Yeah, now he's going to make it a little bit gooder for you. But he tells you, okay, you know the way to the place where I'm going. He did it on Jesus. Jesus is just a master teacher. He knows how to prompt folks and say, you know the place where I'm going. Now he just said, wait a minute. From the beginning, he said, we can't go there now. We can go later. Well, I don't want to go over it again. We just went over. But he just said, you never told us where you're going. You told you're going to your father's house. But where's the address? What province is he at? What you know, what tribe is, I mean, what village? Are we heading south? Are we going east? You ain't told us that. And then he goes on and takes it a little bit deeper. I'm the way. And you know me. And if you know, see how you tied it all together for them in a nice little book. I don't need to reread it all for you. And that's so what he told them. Don't be troubled. Don't be worried. He gave them reasons why they should not be. But you don't have to be troubled. Because when it's all said and done, you're going to be with me. And I'm going to come back and get you. And so that you can be there with me. In this humongous place where my father dwells. Any more questions, comments?
It reminds me of the gymnast when we see who's that young lady who's like one of the best gymnasts in the world?
Biles?
Simone Biles.
Yeah.
And what makes her a phenomenon is that she sticks the landing. When she does off the balance beam or on the bars or on the catapult, whatever she's on, what makes it, she goes up high, but then she sticks that landing. And I kind of look at, maybe that's what Jesus is saying. The landing, you're gonna stick that landing. You're gonna end up all right. The landing's gonna stick. Okay.
Very good. Are there any other questions or comments? Yeah, D.
Yeah, I like what Pastor said because the Lord tells us clearly we're going to receive so many new things when we get to that landing. We're going to get a new body, a new name. It's going to be so much glory there. You ain't going to have time to cry because the Lord going to wipe away the tears. And people don't understand that concept, so that's a whole other story there. But when the Lord wipe away your tears, it's for a reason. Oh man, go ahead. I don't need to say it.
Help yourself, Reverend.
Man, the Lord. Can you imagine the Lord Himself? You, a little individual, and the Lord got His hand. You got the new body now, so you can take it, and He wipe away your tears. Mercy.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, there's no other questions or comments. Somebody want to close us out in prayer?
I will. Father, I thank you for this that was heard. Thank you for God, the word falling on good ground. And we thank you, God, for the marvelous future that you have prepared for those that love you. You said, eyes have not seen, neither ears heard, neither entered the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love you. And God, we love you tonight. We love you because you first loved us. While we were yet sinners, God, you loved us. Well, this God, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. We pray, God, that we might hold fast to our faith so that when trouble comes, and trouble will come, that God, it won't move us, it won't shake us, because we know that we're standing on your promises. God, we just say thank you. We pray for families that are going through this and that and the other. Father God, with tears in their eyes, we pray, God, that you might be unto them who are mourning, God, the God of all comfort. Thank you for Pastor Cotton. Thank you for each person, God, that's on this this Zoom tonight. And we pray, God, that your peace might follow us tonight as we, whatever we're going to do, but ultimately when we go to bed, that you might grant us peace and rest. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thankful for everyone who attended tonight.
Well, all right, good people.
We'll meet again.
Love y'all.
Adios.
Love y'all too, man. Y'all be great.
All right, dude.
That's kind of the way it goes.
Amen.
Trying to cut off. There you go.
Oh.
Daniel.
Hey,
How you doing?
Good.
You doing good?
Yeah.
Okay. I like your hair.
Thank you.
Yeah. I miss you. I haven't seen you for a little while. When are you going to come see us?
I don't know.
You don't know?